steps to the mic with a boom ping ping. Wisdom sharper than a bee's fierce sting. Words like fireflies that light the night. He turns the dark into blazing bright. Boom ping ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom ping ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king, all the airwaves king. The ground unveils the truth where lies abound. Politics, justice, social streams. He molds the chaos into dreams. No silence here, just the sound of change. Boom, ping, ping, rearrange ya. Boom, ping, ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom, ping, ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king or the airwaves king. Through the static, through the noise, he amplifies the people's voice. Boom, ping, ping, like a heartbeat's call. He's got the wisdom to break down walls. Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Today is Thursday, July 16th, 2026. Most of you, I am assuming, have never worked on a political campaign professionally. You've maybe knocked on some doors, or maybe you've made some telephone calls, or maybe you did some literature distribution where you're going in a neighborhood or a specified area and you have the little flyers and the door hangers and the little pamphlets, and you will distribute them on the houses in a particular neighborhood for your candidate of choice. But most people, I would say, because it's a very niche profession, it also does not offer what we call long-term employment stability, because campaigns do not last forever. Now, they are consistent, but they also have a start date and they have an end date. So I'm safe in assuming that most of you are fully unaware of all of the different categories and the expenditures that are involved in a political campaign. They essentially are corporations that are tasked with raising money, collecting money, and then allocating that money to different spending categories that we hope will maximize the vote totals for that candidate. The last big primary that we had in the city of Milwaukee was the race for mayor, when Cavalier Johnson ultimately was successful. And there were several candidates that were in that race. Ernell Lucas ran for mayor. I believe current alderwoman Marina Dmitrievich, she ran for mayor. Lena Taylor ran for mayor. Lena Taylor ran for mayor a lot, and she didn't win any of the times, but that's okay. She's a judge now. And I did this thing in the mayoral race, because I saw how much money each candidate raised for their campaigns. Now, remember, in a campaign, you've got to pay staff. You're probably going to have some travel expenses. And in a statewide campaign like Wisconsin, you got hotels. You got to buy advertising. You have to do TV advertising. We hope they do radio advertising and digital advertising. And you have to have a political director. You have to have a whole bunch of different people, and each of these people are professionals, and they command a fairly high salary. So I'm going to go through all of different categories just so people can get an idea of how much money a political campaign actually costs. It's staggering. And so when you hear these insane dollar amounts that candidates raise, it doesn't make any sense to you because you're thinking, well, wait a minute, this candidate has got $300,000. This one has $400,000, $500,000. That seems like a lot of money. No, it's not. No, it is not. Now, we've also come to find out exactly how much money Sarah Rodriguez does have on hand. She is the current lieutenant governor. The dollar amount is staggering, but I'm going to get to that in a minute. You're going to be shocked. In fact, when I received the information about how much money the current incumbent lieutenant governor has in her campaign account as she is running for governor, I was like, I know you freaking lying. I had to read it again. Then I had to go find another story or another article, and I had to go look at the documents because I know what all of the hoopla that's been caused and all the people dropping out of the race, and then they drop out of the race and they endorse Sarah Rodriguez. I just knew she had a whole bunch of money, that she had what we call a war chest that was so big it literally would intimidate all of the other candidates out of the race. Whoa, wait until I tell you how much money she... I have more money than she does, and I'm not rich. I do okay. I punch above my weight a little bit. I mean, I'm not a wealthy man now. Don't worry, I will be. So, ladies, if you want to start gold digging, start now. Get in at the ground level when it's easy, because once I get up to the top, I'm going to be hard to catch now. Just letting you know. But I want to give you guys a baseline understanding of how much money a candidate needs to be successful. And so when you hear these astronomical dollar amounts that they raise, it seems like a lot, but it really isn't. And that money goes very, very quickly. So there was a thing that I did during the mayoral campaign that must have been 2022. And I want to figure out, based on how much a candidate raises and how many votes they got. Now, obviously, Cavalier Johnson won the primary and he won the general election. But how much are they spending per vote? Right? So if you raise $10,000 and you get 100 votes, then that's $10 a vote, right? Am I doing that right? If you raise $10,000 and you get 100 votes, that's $10 a vote, right? Yes. No. Yes. I think. Maybe. If you raise $10,000 and you get 10 votes, that's $1,000 a vote. So on and so forth. And I was looking at the dollar amounts that were raised in the mayoral contest where we had a big primary. Ernell Lucas, who lost, spent something like $40 or $50 per vote. And Lena Taylor actually had the lowest cost per vote. So based upon the amount of money that she raised when she was running for mayor and the amount of votes that she got, Lena Taylor is like $1.50 per vote, which I think says a lot for the strength of her campaign, her name recognition. There's a number of people that were obviously comfortable with her leadership as mayor. Now, she obviously didn't win, but the lower your cost per vote, because you got to advertise to voters, you got to do direct mail to voters, you got to go and knock on their doors, and you got to hire people to go and canvass neighborhoods and drop literature. You have to do a whole bunch of things, and all of those different categories add up. In fact, some of the vendors that produce materials that candidates use, they will inflate their prices because they can, because there's not a whole bunch of vendors that are able to provide the services, the specific services the campaigns need. And here's the other trick. This is the deception of the entire thing. You know that the money that these candidates are spending is not their own. They're raising it from other people. So something that you may not be okay spending $10,000 on, if it's your $10,000, you may be okay spending $10,000 for a voter file or for a whole bunch of printed copies of your literature if the money was raised and came from other people. So everything is just kind of skewed and everything is exceptionally expensive. So I want to make sure that you guys know what these categories are, because I want us to be much more well-informed about the impact and influence of money in politics. Sometimes people think like, oh, if this candidate raised $30 million for their campaign, they're putting a whole bunch of that money in their pocket. They really can't. The only way you can get money from donors and put it back in your pocket is if you loan the campaign your own personal finances. So if Xavier decides he wants to run for president Xavier may loan his presidential campaign $5 million to get started because he's going to need a 50-state operation, and he's going to need volunteers, and he's going to need infrastructure, and he's going to need to do advertising in all 50 states. So he may take $5 million of his personal wealth and put it in the campaign, and it's marked on the campaign finance report as a personal loan. And when you mark it on your campaign finance report as a personal loan, you can go out and fundraise, and you can have the fundraising events, and you can go on Hassan Piker's podcast, and people can send you a whole bunch of money. And Xavier will say, okay, I'll take that money. I'll take it because I'm paying myself back for a loan that I noted on my campaign finance report. That is legal, that is legitimate, and it's actually quite common. You will start your campaign with your own money. And as you're out there talking to people and getting your name out there, and folks are getting much more familiar with your ideas and your platform, and they'll send you checks, they'll donate online, they might even give you cash, which is legal as long as you have a receipt, and then all of those dollars that you collect, you can use to pay yourself back because you loaned yourself $5 million, or in the case of Xavier, he loaned himself $5 million. None of you worry. Xavier's not running for president. And if you did, you're not going to win. No offense. Don't be offended by that. I'm trying to save you. It's a dangerous job, Xavier.
That's plus, what Brock said to Donald Trump.
Yeah, he didn't believe it, though. And plus, if you were president, well, who in the hell is going to produce the show? You know what I mean?
Zach
is he's very busy. He's got a long day. You know, he just... That's why he comes in with sandwiches. He comes in with all his food he needs for the day because once he comes into the producer studio, he ain't leaving until the sun goes down. Poor fella. I'm going to take a break. When I come back, I'm going to reveal to you the different categories, of course, that candidates have to fund in order to have a successful campaign. I'm also going to tell you the dollar amounts that the current candidates in the race for governor have. And the most important figure you likely will hear all day is the amount of money that the current incumbent lieutenant governor has in her campaign coffers. Now, but here's the thing. I think that she probably told other candidates, maybe even David Crowley, like, hey, David, I've got a whole bunch of money. You can't compete with the amount of money that I have. I'm a much more viable candidate because I can spend and spend and spend, and I can reach out to voters in all 72 counties because of how much money that I have. And David Crowley was like, Oh, I can only spend money in 5 or 6 counties. Maybe I should drop out and endorse you. Before I give you the actual dollar amount, when David Crowley dropped out of the race, when did he drop out? Last week? I don't even remember. Late last week?
This week.
It's this week. David Crowley has more money in his suspended campaign than the current lieutenant governor who is still a candidate for governor. Here's the part that is perplexing me. As lieutenant governor, do you know what your job duties are? Here, I'll tell them. You ready? Count of three. I'm going to tell you what the job duties are of the current lieutenant governor or any lieutenant governor of the state of Wisconsin. 3, 2, 1. Nothing. You don't do any. All you can do is just travel around the state and be like, hi, I'm lieutenant governor. I'm just here just to say hello. You can just have a bunch of fundraisers and raise money for your campaign because one day you'll run for governor. That's it. As lieutenant governor, all you do is raise money. Go to events, put on nice clothes, and you go to stuff. You shake hands, go to ribbon cuttings. You go to the Chippewa River because they'll have a dedication of the Chippewa River. They'll dedicate a new campground. That's what you do. And then you go home at night, you have dinner. You go to bed at like 9:30, and maybe you wake up in the middle of the night because you're lieutenant governor and you scroll Facebook. Maybe you're getting hit up in your DMs for somebody that wants to come over and hit it late at night. I don't know. You're lieutenant governor. You can get hit up in your DMs. Whatever. That's what you do. And then you wake up in the morning. You're like, it's morning and I'm lieutenant governor. Whatever shall I do today? And then maybe you have some Eggs Benedict. You see what's on the television. Maybe watch a Netflix documentary wearing your most comfortable slippers. And then you go back to sleep. And you wait for the governor to die. And then in the meantime, you just raise money. That's the job. I'd be a very good lieutenant governor. I would be the best. because I'd still do my radio show, and then I would every so often I would Lieutenant Govan.
How much money do they make?
$66,000 a year. That's crap. But you don't do anything. In fact, I think that their office budget, I know it is. Their office budget is probably $1 million. But their salary is 66 grand unless they raised it. Here's another crazy fact for you. A member of the Wisconsin State Senate, which is the upper, more prestigious chamber of the Wisconsin legislature, I think they make $52,000 a year. But if you're chief of staff for a Wisconsin state senator, you can make 120 grand a year. Imagine working for a senator that makes 66% less money than you. The senator can be like, hey, I need you to do this, this, and this, and this. You'd be like, shut up. I make more money than you, ho. I wouldn't suggest you call your boss a ho, but I mean, if the shoe fits. Okay, The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Maybe, just maybe, naughty girls need love too.
Mandela Barnes raised $841,358. He currently has $204,207 on hand. Franny Pants raised $708,884. She currently has $410,563 on hand. Joel Brennan, who I think should be the choice for the blacks. We'll talk about that later. Joel Brennan raised $665,627. He has $359,583 cash on hand. Sarah Rodriguez, who we thought had $2 million, ultimately raised $561,817, and she has $34,990 cash on hand. She is broke. Her campaign is completely bankrupt. And so whatever her documents said, the campaign finance reports where she just fired her campaign manager, you got to keep in mind, Sarah Rodriguez ultimately had to sign off on documents that were fraudulent and lied about how much money she has. Sarah Rodriguez has $34,000. David Crowley dropped out of the race, and David Crowley had over $300,000. I need you to understand something. David Crowley dropped out of the race with 10 times as much money as the current lieutenant governor. And lieutenant governor, all she had to do over the last 4 years was just travel around the state and raise money. $34,000! Her campaign can't survive the end of the week. She can't pay her staff with that money. How do you go from thinking you have $2 million? Now, here's the thing. I ain't no math expert, now. I just tried to do some simple math just a second ago. Doing math on the fly and doing math on the radio is never a recommended idea. But I know the difference between $2 million and $34,000. She knew she didn't have no damn money. Ain't no way that I can think I have $2 million and only have $34,000. That's a big difference. That's the difference of like 60 times. She's got 60 times less money. That is insane to me. But let me go ahead and just put this out here. She's not qualified to be governor. If you can't keep track of your money and you signed off on documents, come on now. You know how much money you raise because these candidates are out there grinding. They're on the phone. They're going to different events. 90% of what a candidate does, especially in the early part of their campaign, is raising money because you need to show your viability. You show your viability by raising a lot of money because then that shows not just the voters in the state of Wisconsin, but it shows the other opponents that you have relative strength because people are willing to invest their money in your campaign. And let me be real clear with you. Getting someone to donate to a campaign is damn near impossible. Most of you have never given a penny. Now, most of you, I'm assuming, pay attention, and most of you are voters, but most of you have never given any money because the people that actually give, I mean, individual people, is very small. That's why the money comes from corporations. Now, individual donors can compete and can contribute more, believe it or not, than corporations. We just opt not to do it. And then we wonder why so many of our elected officials are bought and sold, because their political futures are oftentimes tied to the corporate donations and the political action committee donations that our elected officials get from special interests, because we don't contribute any money. If you talk to most elected officials, especially at the local level, they would rather their money come from their voters and their constituents, because it makes it a lot easier to be accountable to them. Because that elected official can say, you know what, if I'm not accountable to the people that put me here, that voted for me, and the people that allow me to have enough money so I can run for reelection, then I don't deserve to be in office. But then once your money starts flowing in from outside groups and special interest groups, you begin to diminish the voices of your actual constituents, because they're not putting money in your campaign coffers, and you can't run a successful campaign with no money. It's damn near impossible. According to the latest filing submitted by the midnight deadline, the Democratic candidates for governor raised the following amounts during the first 6 months of the year. According to campaign finance filings, Mandela Barnes raised $841,358. He has $204,000 in the bank. Francesca Hong raised $708,884. She's got $400,010 in the bank. Joel Brennan raised $665,627. She's got $359,583 in the bank. Sarah Rodriguez reportedly raised $561,817. She's got $34,990. She can't even buy a car with that. How you going to advertise on 101.7 The Truth, Sarah, with $34,000? How you going to advertise anywhere? How you going to get lunch with $34,000? Kelda Royce raised $527,432. She has $406,492 in the bank. David Crowley dropped out of the race with $315,000. David Crowley has 10 times the amount of money as a suspended candidate than Sarah Rodriguez has right now. Sarah Rodriguez's campaign can't buy a Toyota Camry. They can't afford to get a new Toyota. She can't even get a mid-sized SUV. Now, here's what absolutely needs to happen. And I'm going to reiterate this when I do my podcast this evening on Hughes Views 414 on YouTube. If you haven't subscribed, go on over to Hughes Views 414 on YouTube and do that thing for your boy. The only reason why Sarah Rodriguez is staying in the race for governor, because she cannot win with $34,000. So every day she stays in the race, she is raising money for her debt that her campaign has incurred. She owes $152,000. She's got $152,000 in deferred expenses. She only has $34,000 on hand. Let me do a little quick math here. She owes $120,000 right now. She's in the hole $120,000. But the longer she stays in the race, she can still raise money as a gubernatorial candidate. But if you give money to her now, it's not to elect her governor. It's so she doesn't have to come out of her own pocket $120,000. And here's what this tells me. Her campaign was never viable from the start. And that doesn't shock me, because most people don't even know who she is. The first several polls that we got starting out earlier this year, she was at the absolute very bottom, and she's the current lieutenant governor. She's a statewide elected official. But that's the thing. If you're a current statewide elected official and people don't know who you are, why are you trying to run for a higher position when no one knows who you are in the current position that you're in? I would frankly be embarrassed. She's better off taking a job over at We Energies. They'll pay better. I hope I'm not sounding mean. I'm just being realistic, because she lied to us. And then, so I feel bad for her campaign manager. So where's the story at? It's over here somewhere. Rodriguez intentionally hired a staffer with past financial woes to oversee her money. That's bad decision making. If you knew that this person that you were hiring had been evicted and owed their landlord $8,000, and you're going to put them over your finances for your campaign, that just shows poor decision making. And so then when the campaign manager, I guess, made all these mistakes, which, and the buck stops with Sarah Rodriguez, because she had to sign off on everything. But then she threw that girl under the bus. They had a story in yesterday's Milwaukee news media just putting, her name is Kara Spencer, the former campaign manager for Sarah Rodriguez, that Sarah Rodriguez is blaming all of her financial troubles on. It's not that she stole the money. They just lied about how much they had. Sarah Rodriguez threw her under the bus. Did all that jawjacking. You only got $34,000. That's not even a down payment on an average-sized house in Milwaukee. What can you buy with $34,000? You can't buy a Toyota. That is a low-wage annual salary, $34,000 is. You can buy a boat. Sarah Rodriguez can buy a Sarah for Wisconsin boat, little boat, go fishing maybe. What else can you buy with $34,000? A camper. Go drive your camper around Yellowstone. That's what you can do. I know David Crowley has got to be kicking himself. He dropped out of the race and endorsed Sarah Rodriguez that same day. And then we come to find out that David Crowley has got $300,000 and Sarah Rodriguez has $34,000. David has got 10 times the amount of money as the white woman in the race. He has 10 times the amount of money as the current incumbent lieutenant governor. That is insane. But let me hold on now. Let me be clear. You know, I love David. David is a bad decision maker, too. David should have. Well, so David suspends his campaign for whatever reason. He didn't have a pathway to victory. Got to be honest about that. He didn't. But before you endorse somebody, okay, an endorsement is a reference. People ask Sherwin for references all the time. Not sure why. But before I provide myself as a reference for somebody else, I got to know who I'm supporting. Hey, Sherwin, can I use you as a reference? I mean, do you sell dope? Do you like to touch little kids? You have a lot of outstanding warrants and tickets. Are you wanted in the state of Georgia? Have you ever robbed a bank before? There's like a battery of questions that you should go through. And David Crowley should have said, hey, Sarah Rodriguez, I might endorse you, but let me see if everything is on the up and up. Let me check your campaign finances. Let me look into your background a little bit. He did so blindly, and that's troubling because if you're a black elected official, you can't just listen to white folks. There's somebody got in David's ear, and they said, David, just drop out and endorse Sarah. He's like, all right. Where'd that get you? David, at home with us. He dropped out of his own Super Bowl. And now he's going to watch the game from the couch. Take a break, come back. We'll talk to the town on the other side. And those are always interesting conversations. Xavier, you running for president?
No.
Okay, just making sure.
I'm if so, enough.
You probably could raise more than $34,000.
Yeah, probably.
I've raised more than $34,000 for candidates. I could raise $34,000 in 10 days because I know rich people. I just call up 10 of them and be like, hey, it's your boy. Let me get $3,400 real quick. All right, Sherwin, who do I make the check out to? This is insane. The Republicans are like, you dumb sons of biscuits. Oh, they having a field. Oh, Tom Tiffany's got $2 million on hand. He's just sitting on his money. He's chill. He's weird. He lives with his mother type of weird. He's got a commercial with an AI cow in it. He's weird. He's weird, creepy, like never had a girlfriend weird, like never been touched before, kind of weird. You can just tell. He's a 70-year-old that ain't had none since it had him.
I don't know about that. He probably has had some, but he probably won't disclose it.
No, I don't think he's because you can tell.
It probably goes against his religion.
Well, that's the excuse, because if you're a man that can't get laid, you got to blame something.
Well, I think he's getting laid, but...
Oh, you think it's probably by another man? You think he's gay?
Yeah, most of these Republicans are.
I don't even think a gay man would have sex with him. At least Lindsey Graham has some swagger. Like, yeah. Lindsey Graham in his day was probably getting a lot of twink tail.
Money,
he was.
Money talks.
I suppose. But money. I don't even see Tom Tiffany even being cool enough to pay for it, even being transactional like that. If you watch his demeanor in his commercial, and his mama is always in the commercials. I don't like that. That's Mandela doing that stuff too. His daddy and stuff is always in the commercials. Then when he ran in for Senate in 2022, do y'all remember that there was a commercial where Mandela wanted to, he said he was going to be a protector of women's rights. They put his mama in a commercial, and his mama said in the commercial that she had an abortion. Oh, my God, I would never in my life. And I don't want to know if my mother's ever had an abortion. I know this much. She didn't have two. One is named Tyler. One is named Sherwin. Thank you, mama. But that was crazy. Why would you put your family out there like that? Because that stuff lives out there forever. So every time I see Mandela's mama, I'm like, damn. And I look at Mandela, I'm like, you lucky, buddy.
I mean, have you seen any of his latest commercials?
No.
I mean, I don't think he really has a soul, so I think he just do anything for a vote.
I played a part of one of the interviews that he did with, I think, either Fox 6 or CBS 58. They're doing these exposés on the candidates, and I played a little snippet of it on the Hughes Views 414 podcast last night, and Mandela said, my top issue was urgency. What is that? How does urgency make the cost of healthcare go down? How does urgency stop? It's the fire is going on. It's fire outside. Did you guys smell the fire? It's camp's fire. Canada's on fire right now, and it's in Wisconsin. We should sue Canada. Donald Trump, take over Canada. No, don't. Because I don't want the burden of Canada. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Our phone number is 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. Let's talk to a patiently waiting in the town. You're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
What's going on, sir?
Oh, just hanging out at the job. What's on your mind?
Number one, this what's the name? This Canada stuff is making Milwaukee look real like dystopic, like RoboCop or something like that. This is crazy. This is looking up at the sky, or whatever, like that. It's like the skies ain't clear or nothing. That's messed up. But I really wanted to call about what you was just saying about Crawley. You know what I'm saying? And I be listening to you. You always got something good to say about Crawley. And I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I'm not here to say good or bad about him. But if you step out the race, right, and then not even 24 hours, then you go immediately, you back this woman. I thought that was strange anyway. Like you don't even want to shop around, or unless you have something else baked in the cake. Like, okay, I'm finna get out, and I'm finna throw my support behind the Sarah Rodriguez female. And she already know it. And then turn around, then Sarah Rodriguez not only don't know how to deal with her money, but she don't even got no money. So, like, I gotta go with the kids, say, cheap eyes. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's going on here? What is going on? One thing I do agree with you about, though, is that the Republicans and Tom Tiffany now, they're having a nice good laugh about this too. And if I was Tom Tiffany, I would be looking at these guys, all of them, is like, y'all don't even got y'all stuff together. That would be my, you know what? If I was messing with them, if I was a Republican or whatever like that, if I was one of them, you know what I'm saying? What's the dude's name? Dude with the big teeth out there in South Carolina. If I was those guys, I would
Tim
be like,
Scott.
Yeah. If I was Tim Scott, goofy looking ass. If I, you know, with them type of guys, and I was messing with Tom Tiffany, I would say my platform would be, I'm Tom Tiffany. I'm running as a Republican. I got my shit together. Everybody don't. That would be my thing. Because when I look at the Democrats, I'm looking like, where's no – do you guys have a plan individually? Do you have a plan collectively? Like, y'all can't even say – and y'all, I mean in we because, you know what I'm saying, I'm with the Democrats too. We can't say what we're going to do if X, Y, and Z happens. Oh, what happens when Crowley gets out? Or what happens if you know what I'm saying, if you lose, are you prepared to go with Francesca Hong or Hong? If you lose, are you willing to put your support fully behind ex-Democrat to make sure that that this purple state turns Democrat? You know what I mean? Like, where? Like, that's the question right there. It just came to me. Answer me this question. Where is the plan between the Democrats in this governor race? What's up with that? What is the plan? Is there one?
Yeah. Try to beat the Republican.
How?
I mean, you asked me how? The plan was. That's all I know. Well, the plan is for the individuals in the primary, for them to – one of them is going to have a message that's going to resonate with a larger number of voters, and we narrow it down from 6 to 1, and then they put together the actual strategy, which is probably going to be affordability and a bunch of anti-Trump stuff, et cetera, et cetera. But I appreciate your call, the town. So I put together a list of things that Sarah Rodriguez can buy with $34,000. I feel like I need some background music for this. I'm just trying to help her. You know what I mean? In case she's wondering what she can buy. There we go. Examples of what Sarah Rodriguez, the current lieutenant governor and still candidate for governor of Wisconsin, can buy with the $34,000 cash on hand. She can buy a... Oh, look it! She can get a new Toyota Corolla. But not the fancy one. She can only get an LE. She can buy a new Honda Civic Sport, a new Mazda CX-30. Oh, she can get a lightly used Ford F-150. I can see her riding around a Ford F-150 with 34K written on the door. She can put a down payment on a $170,000 house. That's 20% down. She can buy a small vacant residential lot with her $34,000 cash on hand. She cannot run as a successful candidate for governor, but I'm just giving her a few other ideas and suggestions of what she can do with the remaining money on hand that she has. She can pay about 1 year of tuition and fees, room and board at many public universities so she can go to college for a single year. Or she could even get a master's degree at some public university so she can spend that $34,000 on bettering her education. She can get a commercial truck driving trade school license. She could be an over-the-road trucker. She could launch a small food truck. It says here, a basic setup of a food truck. She can open a small retail or online business with her $34,000 cash on hand. The current lieutenant governor and still candidate for governor, Sarah Rodriguez, who only has $34,000 cash on hand, can build a professional website with branding and marketing campaigns for a startup business. So she's got options with the money. Now, obviously, none of these options are running for governor. Oh, here's one. She can make some home improvements. With her $34,000, she can install a brand new roof and siding on her home. She can remodel not one, but two bathrooms with that $34,000. And everybody likes a freshly remodeled bathroom. I remodeled my bathroom back in 22. It's very nice. She can install solar panels on her home and be a little bit more energy conscious, a little bit more green with her energy usage. Or she could finish her basement with that $34,000. She can buy a bass boat with a trailer. She could get a new side-by-side UTV, like one of those off-road four-wheeler vehicles that seats two people. I could see her cruising around the marshlands of Wisconsin in one of those. Hey, everybody, look at me in my UTV. I was a candidate for governor, but I decided to buy this. Vroom, vroom, vroom. She could take around 20 or 30 luxury international vacations. or a month-long European vacation for two with her $30,000 cash on hand. She could buy one high-end Swiss watch, a custom engagement ring with a large diamond. Oh, here's what she should buy with her money. I'm just trying to help her out. She can buy a nice piano and write songs about how she thought she had $2 million and ended up only having $34,000, and that's why she bought the piano. A complete luxury furniture set for a home is something else. Or she could invest the money. If she got a 7% annual return on her $34,000, in 10 years, it would be $66,900. Hey, that's more money than she's got. In 20 years, she'd have $131,000. And in 30 years, she'd have just over a quarter of a million. So she's probably better off investing that money. She could buy 6,800 meals at $5 a piece. She could go and feed many homeless. She could buy 970 tanks of gas. She could make roughly 680 grocery trips at $50 each. She could buy 34 high-end laptops, costing about $1,000 each, and help some Milwaukee public school children get new computers. And she could approximately buy 11 premium smartphones with her $34,000 cash on hand. So there you go. I always have suggestions and always have solutions. We are trying to help the lieutenant governor out, trying to help her spend her remaining $34,000 since you can't run a successful campaign for governor. You could buy a bass boat or a Toyota Corolla or get a bathroom remodel for your home. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
The latest highly anticipated fundraising numbers are in ahead of the August 11th primary for governor in the state of Wisconsin. The reports follow the bombshell announcement from Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez's campaign, firing her campaign manager for financial mismanagement and previously filing inaccurate finance reports. Let me be clear. Sarah Rodriguez, Lieutenant Governor, who is a candidate for governor, had to sign off and review those documents, meaning the buck stops with her, so she knew. That's why it's disgusting to me that she threw her campaign manager under the bus. Now I'm just waiting for Sarah Rodriguez to do the right thing and drop out. But endorse nobody. Don't nobody want that endorsement. That endorsement is dirty. Yuck. Ain't that crazy? David Crowley gets out the race, endorses Sarah Rodriguez, and then Sarah Rodriguez is going to have to drop out of the race too? Oh, our politics are so incredibly fragmented, but let me just also use this as a beautiful example. And the town called in and he was asking, well, what's the plan? What's the strategy? There really isn't one. Because if we leave the candidates to their own devices, this is what they're going to do, because the Democratic Party in the state of Wisconsin, it is weak. This is an example of when your party is weak and is not cohesive and you have a whole bunch of different candidates trying to put together their own campaigns and their own strategies with, because they don't really know what to do in the Trump era. There's something that I think most of these candidates do understand, is that you don't have to be specific in catering to the wants, needs, and wishes of the African-American community. You don't have to do that. So that's one thing that they all have some agreement on, which is okay, because then it falls on us. We have to put together a strategy, and we have to get involved in this game as a unit, as a group of voters, and as a special interest group that has specific political needs. So I'm not mad at them, because if we are not setting anything forward, then why would they cater to us? Every other interest group approaches the candidates, every other interest group except for us, but don't worry, I got a strategy for that. But this also explains why someone like Francesca Hahn can perform so well. She's a Democratic Socialist. She is not a Democrat. But when the Democratic Party itself is weak, she can run as a Democrat and be a democratic socialist because the party is very, very weak. With Donald Trump being president and the huge loss in 2024, Democrats don't know what works. They don't know what sticks. Yeah, you can talk about affordability, but what really can they do when affordability is a national crisis? What really can Democrats in the state of Wisconsin do about the cost of gas in Wisconsin? Almost nothing. What can they do about Donald Trump's tariffs that's making everything more expensive? What can they do as governor of the state of Wisconsin to stop the smoke in the air? It's smoke in the air from the Canada fire. I think the wind is going to shift, though, in the next 24 hours, and then it's not going to be smoky anymore. But in the grand scheme of things, Democrats don't know what to run on. We have an anti-affirmative action, anti-DEI political and social climate. They don't want to run on that. It's a referendum on the ballot in November, making permanent, removing DEI and affirmative action from damn near everything in the state. They don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about the Wisconsin State Supreme Court that voted 7-0 to end a minority scholarship. And it wasn't even a big scholarship. It's only $2,500. Tell you what, Sarah Rodriguez, with your $34,000, why don't you give your $34,000 to some black people so they can go to college? Pay somebody's tuition. The party is in shambles, but we don't have to be. And I came up with a strategy. And the more I discuss the strategy with other people, the more they seem to understand, because this is not a moment to be emotional. This is a moment to utilize the impact of the African-American community's vote. If they're not going to come chase it, well, then we will offer it. And we can show our relative political strength, because we can take one of these candidates that likely would not advance. And if they advance on the strength of our vote, then we have made an ally. And let me also say this, because I think it needs to be said. A black candidate getting elected governor in a state that is 80% white is going to have to spend all of their time helping and catering to white people. They won't even give them the political breath to be able to address issues in a black community. I need you to understand this. If a black candidate gets elected statewide in a majority white state, that is who they're going to represent. If a white candidate gets elected in the state of Wisconsin, that is to some extent beholden to black voters, because black voters put them over the top. A white candidate that becomes a governor that gets put in a position of power can do more for black people than a black candidate can. Because the black candidate will be typecast, generalized, and stereotyped of doing too much for black people anyway, meaning they have to be covert about everything they do for black people. Meaning, I can help you blacks, but I got to do it on the slide. Where a white candidate that has the ability to negotiate with Republicans can actually do a hell of a lot more. The civil rights legislation that was signed in this country, I mean all of it, was signed by white presidents. Barack Obama couldn't have signed no civil rights legislation. White folks would have had an absolute fit. So our power comes through our ability to be able to influence an election like a special interest group. Now, I know some of y'all want the inverse to be true. I want a black governor of an 80% white state, and they're going to do everything for black people. Literally impossible. That is fantasy land. We'll talk more about that in hour two. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.